Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge, your hometown voice. And now your host, the Rogue announcer, Jeff Smith.
And I am Jeff Smith, the Rogue announcer, and this is Rogue Talk for August 18th, 2017. And I want to welcome you to today's show. We got a couple of fun things we'll talk about today. And before we get into that, I want to catch some of the things going on around the community. First of all, I have a little press release here, and I will read this right from their press release. This is for the Oregon Old Time Fiddlers Association. And it says, the Oregon Old Time Fiddlers Association will hold its next public jam on Saturday, September 2nd, 2017, from 1 to 3 p.m., and that'll be at the Fruitdale Grange Hall. That's in Grants Pass at 1440 Parkdale Drive. And acoustic musicians are welcome to sit in and play. Dancing is encouraged. Admission is by donation, and questions may be directed to Judy at 541-779-8145, or you can visit their website at ootfa4.org. And I'll give you those numbers one more time. The phone number, 541-779-8145. And the website, OOTFA4, that's the number 4.org. And that's if you would like more information on the Oregon Old Time Fiddlers Association Jam. And once again, that's coming up on September 2nd. So we'll try and mention that over the next couple of weeks. Another event coming up, the big fundraiser for the historic Woodville Cemetery. They'll be having their spaghetti feed. That'll be at the Rogue River Community Center, and that will be on August 25th from 5 to 7. $6 at the door, and after the dinner at 7 o'clock, there will be bingo. And that will be $1 per sheet for the bingo and $6 at the door for the spaghetti dinner. So those are a couple events going on in the community. We haven't had too much of that to talk about recently. And the other event, I don't have it in front of me, so I don't know who the sponsor is this month, but I believe, and someone can call and correct me if I'm wrong, but it's the third Friday of the month, so that would mean it's the community center dinner, but I don't have, again, I don't have the press release on that. I don't have all that information, but of course, that's at the community center as well. And if someone would like to correct me on that or let me know any more information, you can do that. The number here at the studio is 541-299-0498, 541-299-0498. And once again, first couple of callers we get, I do have some Rogue Express to give away, and we got a couple of things we're going to talk about today, so you might be interested in calling in. One of the things we're going to talk about is the eclipse that's coming up on Monday, and kind of a big deal, not so much around here. I mean, everybody's excited about it, but a little farther north of us is the area of totality, I guess they call it, where you'll be able to see the full eclipse, and we'll see a partial eclipse here. We're going to see it pretty good down here in Rogue River. The way they measure that is in magnitude, and will be a 0.94 magnitude here, which 1.0 is the full eclipse. So we're going to see it pretty good down here, but of course, everybody wants to head up north and get into the area of the full eclipse. And so we're going to talk about that a little bit. And the other thing I wanted to talk about is, with all of the controversy about the last week's demonstration in Virginia, and a woman was killed by a car, and so of course it was, you know, big news in the media. But I don't really want to get into that too much. That if you want to debate all of the issues related to that, and how it relates to the president and all of that, you can go to Facebook, of course, and you can get in all kinds of fights on Facebook or on Twitter. But what I did want to talk about was this move across the country to start taking down these different statues and other such things that, if they're related to anybody that in some cases were even remotely related to, you know, any kind of part of our past that we might be not proud of. And so we'll talk about that a little bit. Again, I don't want to get into the heavy controversy of all of the different groups that were involved and what the president said or what he didn't say. You know, we've had some shows like that, but I'm going to try and avoid that for the most part. But I do want to talk about, you know, the idea of taking down some of these statues and if it's a good idea. And I think it's a case by case kind of thing. You really have to look at, you know, what it represents. In some cases, maybe you could make some changes to the display and maybe if there's plaques that go along with the statues that tell, you know, who it is and what it's about, you know, maybe we could change those, but we'll get into that a little bit more in a little bit. Let's go back to the eclipse. Oh, and one more thing while I'm hitting some announcements, next week, if things go as planned, we will have, Pastor Charlie Grenade will be on the show, and he is running a program called The Unstoppables of Rogue River, and they've been doing some really nice, bringing in some speakers from different industries and different professions to talk to some of the young people in the community that are interested in those fields. And so he's been doing that all pretty much all summer, it looks like. And so we're going to get all the information about that and find out what he's got planned next. So if all goes well, that will be next week's show. So now let's get back to the eclipse. And I'll shuffle my papers around here. Haven't doing things old school today. No iPad today. So if you hear the paper shuffling, that just means that that I'm trying to stay organized. So I don't know, for those of you that are listening that live in this area, that live in Rogue River or nearby, I don't know if you've been on the roads today, but I had to take a trip up to Merlin this morning. And I got on the freeway, and now we know summertime, the traffic is quite a bit heavier, especially near the weekends, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, even into Monday mornings, you know, I-5 especially. The traffic is pretty heavy all summer long with all the travelers, you know, I-5 being, you know, a major corridor from, you know, from all the way up to the Canadian border, all the way down, I believe probably to Mexico or at least somewhere close to that. Been a long time since I've been down in that part of the world, but anyhow, so it's a major thoroughfare for, you know, truck traffic and vacationers and of course the local traffic in each of the communities. But I'm heading to Merlin this morning, and I just can't believe the amount of RVs, trailers, campers, cars with stuff tied on top, you know, bikes on the back, and they're all heading up north to get the best spot for the eclipse. And if you've been watching any of the news, some of these communities are going to be overwhelmed. In fact, some of them have already been overwhelmed. I don't know if you saw some of the coverage last night of Prineville, where the traffic was just backed up for miles, and the eclipse isn't even until Monday. So I thought it would be fun to look at some of the things going on with the eclipse. And I think it's kind of cool. I don't get super excited about it, but I know a lot of people that are really interested in the sun and the stars and the universe, whatever, however you want to look at it. You know, when something like this comes along, you know, they get pretty excited about it. And I think it's a cool thing. It doesn't, you know, I think the last one that went through Oregon was in the 60s, I believe, around 62, I think. And it'll be, I don't even have it in front of me, but it's going to be a while before the next one. So I understand the anticipation and the excitement. I think that it's kind of a fun thing. It's a little, it doesn't really live up to the hype for the average person, because looking at it, you have to look at it through special glasses or some sort of method, maybe one of those pinhole camera situations with the box and the pinhole, and you, the image is projected on the back of the box, and you've got all these different ways that you can look at it, because you can't look at it with your eyes. In fact, there's been an article going around about a guy that I believe is from Oregon that is warning people that he damaged his vision back in the 60s. And again, I think it was 62 when he looked at the eclipse, and he only looked at it for about 20 seconds and damaged his retina. And so he's warning people, you know, you don't want to look, you will damage your eyes to look at this. And so we should take that seriously and, you know, get yourself some of the glasses, make sure you can, the one website I didn't write down, but you can go to NASA's website and they have a list of what you need to look for to make sure they're approved glasses. I believe Rogue River Pharmacy has been selling some. Fred Meyer and Walmart in Grants Pass also have been selling them. We've gotten a couple of pairs, and I think my wife was going to pick up one or two more, because I'll be heading to work when it's happening, so I'll take a pair with me. If you have the right type of welding helmet or welding glasses, you can also use those. But you need to look up what you need to have to make sure. And kind of a rule of thumb you can use is, when you look through the glasses that you're going to be using, you shouldn't be able to see anything through them except the sun. If you look at the sun, you should see the sun, but you shouldn't be able to see anything else. Any mountains or clouds or any other objects really should not show. If you can see anything other than the sun through those glasses, they're not dark enough. They're not the right type. Don't risk your vision on that. But let's get back to what we're going to see here in Rogue River. So if you're in and around the Rogue River area when the eclipse is happening, it officially starts at 9:03 a.m. And that means that's when the moon first starts to move into the path of the sun. So obviously right at 9:03, it won't look a whole lot different than it does at 9:02. But as the minutes go on, you'll see it start to encroach in front of the sun. And the peak of the eclipse here in Rogue River will be at 10:16. And as I mentioned before, on a scale of 1.0 being a full or total eclipse, we will get a magnitude of a 0.94 here in Rogue River. So that's going to be a pretty good. It's going to be just a tiny sliver. If my research is right, you'll have a tiny sliver that will go basically from the northeast corner of the sun that will be showing around to the southwest corner. So the right hand and right lower side is where some of the sun will still shine through. So, but there are, I'll give you a couple of good websites I found that you can get this information from and learn a whole lot more about it. I haven't had as much time to really go through all of the neat things about the eclipse that I might have liked to, but I'll give you those websites. So the two websites I found, and I'm sure there's some others also, and of course, as I mentioned, the NASA website also has some good information on the eclipse. But the two websites I've been looking at, one of them, timeanddate.com/eclipse. And the other one is Eclipse 2017, so those are not spelled out, but just the numbers, eclipse2017.org. So those two websites, a lot of cool information. In fact, I'll probably do some more looking at that before Monday morning comes around and get some more good information on that. But then after it reaches the peak at 10:16, the eclipse will end at 11:37. So that's a duration of 2 hours and 34 minutes. And obviously in the middle of that, the several minutes before 10:16 and several minutes after 10:16 is what you might consider the coolest part of the eclipse or the neatest part. But I think the whole time when the moon is passing in front of the sun, it's a cool view. I'm hoping maybe I can get some pictures with a filter for my iPhone camera, or maybe a different camera. I haven't experimented yet. I'll probably do that this weekend and get it ready. But I'd love to try and get some pictures. Don't know how good they'll be, but if I can get some decent ones, I'll throw them up on the Facebook page. So that should be quite a fun thing. And once again, if you haven't gotten your glasses, you can try the Rogue River Pharmacy would be your first choice. And then, of course, Fred Meyer and Walmart have had them. I would imagine they still do. It didn't look like they were in danger of running out when I was there earlier this week. So at actually both of those places. So check into those places, see if you can get yourself some glasses. But also let's be smart on the roads. That stopping in the middle of the road is to try and view the eclipse, probably not a really good idea. And we've got enough problems with some of the fires that have been going on around here. We've had some pretty bad accidents around lately that I'm not sure what it's going to be like on Monday with the traffic. It could become an issue. Hopefully most of that's going to be north of us. I feel sorry for that. I don't mean to say that, to wish that on them. But unfortunately, they're going to get the worst of it, whether they like it or not, or whether we like it or not. Some of the places up north that starting from the coast, Newport and Lincoln City are two really good places within the path. And then as you move eastward, you've got McMinnville and Woodburn, Dallas, Salem, Corvallis, of course, Albany, Lebanon, even Sweet Home will be in the path. I know where my daughter went to school in Monmouth is right in that area. They're going to be inundated, I'm sure, with people. They've been offering some different accommodations there at the college, and I'm sure that's happening all over the path of this. Then as you go farther east, Madras and Prineville, John Day, Prairie City, Baker City, and then all the way over toward the eastern border and Ontario. So I feel for all those places. And the map that I'm looking at to get that information is eclipse2017.org. So you can check that out. And so that's about all I got for you to talk about the eclipse. I thought it was a kind of a fun thing to look into and talk about a little bit. And it should be an interesting day on Monday. I'm sure it'll be half of the local newscast will probably be made up of all the things going on with the eclipse. I know KDRV is doing starting at 10 o'clock. They're going to have eclipse coverage, so they're not covering the whole 2.5 hours, but they're definitely going to cover the coolest part of it, so to speak. So that's all I got for you about the eclipse. We'll take a break here, and when we come back, we'll talk a little bit about taking down our statues around the country. So don't go away.
You're listening to Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge.
When you went car shopping, you meant business. You ace vehicle history searches and test drives. You out salesman to the salesman. Now you've got your wheels. If you manage that, you can get your retirement plan on track. Visiting aceyourretirement.org can help. With 401k tips and smart saving strategies, you'll have the info you need to get more for your future. Go to aceyourretirement.org, because when it comes to speeding past financial challenges, you're an ace. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Broadcasting on 100,000 milliwatts.
Don't try this at home.
Ow. 94.3 The Bridge, your hometown voice.
With Esrin Sports, I'm Patrick Foss. After taking the first two matchups in the Bronx this week, the Yankees kept at their winning ways with a 5-3 victory over the Mets when the crosstown matchup shifted to Queens. Making his Citi Field debut, Aaron Judge sent a solo shot in the fourth into the third deck and left, an area rarely reached since the ballpark opened in 2009. Judge was asked if he was tempted to watch his towering home run.
Not really. You know, when you hit it and you kind of know you got one, it's just run the bases.
Mookie Betts lined a two-run double off the Green Monster with two outs in the ninth inning, capping a three-run rather that lifted Boston past St. Louis 5-4. Betts says their style of play is producing wins.
Seems like everybody's saying, you know, we're too aggressive and guys are getting thrown out. You know, the risk-reward. You know, you're going to run into some outs, but you're going to run into something like today.
Red Sox maintain their 4.5-game lead of the Yankees atop the AL East. The Angels edged NL Easter Washington 3-2, winning 7-8, has propelled the Angels to the second wild-card spot in the American League. This is Esrin Sports. Returning home from a 2-8 road trip, AL West leader Houston defeated Arizona 9-5. Josh Reddick hit a two-run homer in a four-run eighth for the Astros. The NL West leading Dodgers rallied with three in the ninth to beat the White Sox 5-4. Anthony Rizzo hit a grand slam in the first inning, and Javier Baez scored on a wild pitch in the ninth as NL Central leader Chicago beat Cincinnati 7-6. Cubs catcher Alex Avila says it's good to be back at the playoff hunt.
Last couple of years, I haven't had the opportunity to play, you know, meaningful games at the end of the season. But, you know, it's exciting because when moments like today happen and you win a game like that, you know, walk-off variety.
Milwaukee with their fourth straight win, 7-6 over Pittsburgh, stayed a game and a half behind Chicago. Miami beat San Francisco 8-1. NL wildcard leader Colorado routed Atlanta 17-2. It was San Diego 3, Philadelphia nothing. AL Central leader Cleveland had their game, and Minnesota rained out to play a split doubleheader today. Other winners in the American League, Kansas City, Seattle, Toronto, and Texas. With SRN Sports, I'm Patrick Foss.
What are all the things you witness online in a day? Cats playing piano. Selfies on your feed. Your friend's picture being turned into a nasty meme that's been shared 50 times. 51. 52. When someone's being bullied online, it's hard to know what to do. Now you can speak up with the witness emoji. It looks like an eye in a speech bubble, and it's in the symbol section near the clocks in your phone. You'll let the world know it isn't cool, and you'll let your friend know you care. Learn more at eyewitnessbullying.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Rogue Talk, and we're going to shift gears a little bit, and I wanted to talk a little bit about this move across the country to take down many of these statues, most cases because they're related to the Confederacy or something they can link to racism or to slavery or to, you know, any part of our history. And in one respect, I find it a little bit disturbing. I kind of see it as a bit of an erasing of history or an attempt to erase history. And I had a few thoughts about this as the week's been going on and watching some of the conversation, and one of the things, and I'll kind of take this back to the events of last weekend and the different groups and then the outcry for what the president said or he didn't say. One of the things that I noticed is I spent a lot of time on Facebook to get different information. I, as most of you know, you know, I follow the Weimer page because I get a ton of information about what's going on in our community from the Weimer page. I follow different websites that are news sites and some opinion sites. And the thing I was noticing is we want to have selective outrage, it seems like. And what I mean by that is we draw these artificial lines in the sand, and we want to compare. Let me put it this way. Have you ever, and I've tried to get away from this as I've gotten older and kind of recognized that there's a lot of things I don't understand, but have you ever heard someone complaining about something that to you seemed really trivial and it's like, oh, really? You're gonna whine about that? I mean, there's so many worse things in the world, and there's so many worse things to be complaining about. And I've caught myself doing that. And in some cases, that's a legitimate thought, because there are people that, you know, that just will complain about anything and they'll cry wolf, you know, all the time. And so, I mean, there are situations like that, but a lot of times we get those feelings about things that we don't understand. I have some people in my life that struggle with some, I don't want to make this sound too terrible, because it's not, but with some mental health issues. And I've experienced what some of the things that they have gone through, either with them or even myself. There was a point in my career, my working career. This is not my job. This is my passion here. But in my career, there was about a 6-month period where I was really unhappy in my job, and I was reading the handwriting on the wall that said, you know, I could see the direction the company was going, and I knew that I was probably expendable. And I had some pretty bad panic attacks. And at that point, as I started to experience those and I started to realize what those were and that I had no control over those, I started to have more of a sympathy, or I don't know if maybe that's the right word, but more of an understanding of what some of these people that are my friends that I knew were going through these things, but I didn't understand it. I didn't, because I hadn't experienced any kind of thing like that. So to me, it didn't make any sense. Now, because these are people that I love and I respect, I didn't judge them, but I didn't understand what it was. And so it's hard to, you know, it's hard to give the complete credibility to it, because it's hard to understand if you haven't gone through it. And so I started to get some more, to be a little more objective about what people are going through. So if I see, you know, somebody that, I don't know, I'm not bothered by death in the world. I mean, I'm sad when I lose a family member or a friend, and as anybody would be, but I move on from it fairly quickly. And that's not to mean I just forget about those people. Of course, they're always in my mind, in my heart, but death doesn't bother me. And maybe some of that has to do with my religious beliefs, and maybe some of it is just that's my makeup. That's the way I'm wired. So when I might have seen somebody, you know, months, 2-3 months after a pet has died, and I'm like, why are you still talking about that? You shouldn't have forgotten about your pet, of course, but I mean, how long do you need to grieve over a pet? Now, again, that to some people might be nodding their heads going, yeah, that seems kind of crazy. But other people that have been through that are going, well, you know, these animals are, we've made them part of our family, and it's like losing a family member. And so I've come to realize that even though I'm pretty good at moving on from things like death, losses like that, they, and again, not to say they don't affect me, they don't bother me, of course they do, but I've done a pretty good job in my mind of being able to kind of, I don't know, compartmentalize those things and move on from those. And so I have a little better sympathy for people that are going through things that to them are major things, even though to me they don't seem like that big of a deal. It's kind of like a, you know, we always see, you know, children losing their minds in grief or agony over some of the stupidest things. And we think, oh my goodness, how can you be upset about something that stupid? But what we have to understand is in their mind, that's the biggest thing in their life. That's, you know, that lollipop that they dropped in the dirt and mom took it away because she's not going to let you eat that dirty lollipop. That is the biggest thing in their life at that moment. So in their world, it's a tragedy. It's a terrible thing. And so I've tried to be more, you know, more open-minded about that everybody's different and they're going through different things. And so kind of to take this back to these events of the past week with the neo-Nazi, well, I don't know, let's back up a little bit. That what happens with these protests is one group, and I don't even know for sure because the media hasn't even been really clear on this, but one group had gotten a permit to march, and they had the permit and they were marching because they were upset about a statue that the city of Charlottesville wanted to take down. And I don't know if this was a hate group or if this was a, you know, I don't know. I don't know which group got the permit, and I don't know what their history is. But what happens with these events like this is other groups find out about it. They find out what's going to happen, and they want to be a part of it, or they want to disrupt it. So, you know, what the media, I think, is calling the white nationalist, which I don't even know what that means. I know what nationalism is, and well, I know what white people are, but I've never even heard of a group calling themselves the white nationalist. I'm sure there probably is one, but they're obviously fairly insignificant because most of us have really never heard of that until this weekend. But then, you know, they get their permit and they do their little march with their little tiki torches like a bunch of morons. And again, I'm not saying that. I don't know what this group stands for. I don't care. They look like fools with their tiki torches. Let's just be honest. But they're going to have their little march over the weekend. And of course, the neo-Nazis find out about it. The white supremacists find out about it, which are sort of kind of one and the same, but not quite. But both hate groups, both, you know, pretty deplorable people, really deplorable, not throwing that word around like it's, you know, like we do racism these days. We call everything racist and, well, we call half the country deplorable, which is really ridiculous. But anyhow, you know, they're disgusting groups. We can all agree on that. Nobody that I know is in favor of the KKK or the neo-Nazis or white supremacists. I mean, their numbers are so small that, you know, they're a non-issue until they show up in the news because, you know, in this case, you know, a young woman was killed. It's a serious thing, but, you know, it wouldn't have been more than a little blip on the national news had it not been for the amount of violence that resulted. But again, let's go back to this. The one group gets their permit, they're going to march. You don't have to agree with anything that they stand for. You don't have to agree with their, you know, they were marching trying to save a statue from being taken down. And you don't have to agree with anything that they stand for, including defending taking down the statue. But they got their permit. They have the First Amendment right to free speech. They have all the same rights as everyone else. The best way to deal with a group like that, in my opinion, is to ignore them. They want the attention. They're marching to get attention. That's why people march and carry signs. They want attention. But unfortunately, again, the other groups find out that this is happening and they take advantage of it. They know that they can move in on it. They're going to have little resistance. And in this case, you know, no resistance from law enforcement, which is a little disturbing thing that I wish I was going to have time to get into, but I don't think I will. And they start showing up and it becomes a standoff. So on one side, you've got the, you know, you've got the KKK, you've got the neo-Nazis, the white supremacists, and even the people that organized the march to begin with. And again, they may be a hate group too. I really don't know. But they had every right to be there. And then on the other side, you have this, it's not a new group, but it's new as far as rearing its head here in this country. It has its roots in Nazi Germany. But this is kind of a new generation and it's called, Antifa. And Antifa stands for anti-fascist, but in the case of Antifa here in the United States, they're anything but anti-fascist. When you shut down other people's speech with violence, that's pretty much one of the definitions of fascism. So the fact that these people call themselves anti-fascists is comical at best and really kind of disturbing. And, you know, in a lot of the cases, these guys put on masks, they dress in black, they carry bats and sticks with nails sticking out of them and bags of rocks, and they're there. And they say this. It's not like it's a mystery. They say that, you know, what we're doing to stop fascism isn't working, so violence is the only thing that works. Well, you know, first of all, that's a ridiculous notion. But second of all, it's them taking advantage again of the situation. They know they have a built-in opponent in the, you know, the people that organized the march and the KKK and in the white supremacist. And then you also have someone like Black Lives Matter. And I know Black Lives Matter brings up a lot of different feelings in people, but the only point I would make about Black Lives Matter is, first of all, if we want to get rid of racism in this country, or at least minimize it to the point that it's almost not seen, we can't balkanize ourselves into these groups. It's not helping. It actually hurts. It hurts the cause to have groups like this. But in the case of Black Lives Matter, on top of the fact that I don't agree with this balkanization, they're a violent group. They've been implicated in a lot of fights at their own protests and showing up at other protests. And they've chanted some really disturbing things. They're very anti-cop, and they've chanted at some of their protests things like pigs in a blanket, fry them like bacon. What do we want? Dead cops. When do we want them? Now. That's disturbing. And I don't care if you stand for, you know, equal rights for blacks or for Latinos or for Asians or whatever group it is that you think doesn't have equal rights. If I sign up to be in a group that chants things like pigs in a blanket, fry them like bacon, and what do we want? Dead cops. When do we want them? Now. I'm quitting. I'm not going to be a part of that group. It's just like the protest. If I'm going to go to a protest that I think is going to be, you know, there's not going to be any violence or anything like that, which anymore these days. That's almost impossible because of exactly what I'm talking about here. If things are getting out of hand and things are getting away from the message that I wanted to convey, if I went to a pro, and I'm not saying I would, it would really depend on the situation, but if, let's say I'm going to go to a protest like this one in Charlottesville to try and protect a statue because I think it's a piece of history, and I don't necessarily see it as honoring, you know, General Lee, but it's history. If the KKK shows up, I'm out of there because they're going to be on my side, so to speak, and I don't want to be a part of that. But at the same time, if Black Lives Matter shows up, and even if they're standing on my side, I'm leaving. I'm not going to be a part of that. One, I'm not really interested in violence. I don't really want to get my head cracked in for a statue, let's be honest. But it ruins it, and they know this. These groups know that. Their intention is to ruin these events, and to, I mean, it happened all through the election cycle with the Trump rallies. Now, did some of the Trump supporters cross the line and throw punches and get violent? Yeah, they absolutely did. However, in almost, if not every one of those cases, it was infiltrated by anti-Trumpers of whatever source, whether they were Black Lives Matter or they were Antifa or they were just average Clinton supporters that were paid by George Soros. They would show up at his rallies and they would cause a disturbance. They would get in people's faces and they would yell things, and eventually they would get somebody mad enough that someone would throw a punch or they would tackle them or whatever. And of course, what happens? The media, oh, violence at the Trump rally, violence at the Trump rally. Well, you know, that's the great headline that they want to push, because let's be honest, the media has a liberal bent. And I wouldn't even say liberal, because I kind of hate that word, because a classical liberal is really kind of what we call a libertarian today. These people aren't liberals. They're progressives. The Democrat Party is full progressive. And that's fine. If you're a progressive and that's the direction you want to go, that's your deal. But let's be honest about, you know, what the media is. The media favors progressivism. The mainstream media, as they call it, and I don't feel they're all that mainstream, but that's the term that a lot of people have given them. They favor the Democrat Party. And there's no argument here. I mean, I can go through 100 comparisons of how they've treated certain stories. Their left wing tendencies are, there's no question here. It's a fact. And so, you know, these people have figured out, you know, especially the ones that organized by people like George Soros and Media Matters, they know how to get their story into the media to make the other side look bad. And that's what happens with these rallies. And that's what happened with this rally. And that's saying that doesn't give any kind of credence or any kind of legitimacy to any one of those groups. I'm not blaming Black Lives Matters or Antifa. I'm not blaming the KKK or the white supremacists or the neo-Nazis. Everyone that threw a punch or threw a rock or whatever kind of violence, they're responsible for their own violence. That doesn't make a judgment about those groups. And that's what I was getting at with how I've learned to be a little more open-minded about what other people are going through or what other people are thinking or whatever that may be. I'm not going to sit here and judge which group is more hate-filled, which they're all hate groups. I mean, I'm not, you know, you can call in 541-299-0498 and you can argue until the end of the show that none of those groups I mentioned are hate groups, but they are. And you're going to lose that argument, even if it even if there's a stalemate, you're not going to change my mind on that, is what I mean by you will lose that argument, because you're never going to convince me that every one of those groups is a hate group. So it's not up to me to say, well, because the KKK hates black people, they're worse than Antifa, or they're worse than Black Lives Matter. That's not, I don't get to make that estimation or that decision. I think they're all equally horrible because they hate someone for some reason that has nothing to do with anything, you know, responsible. They hate people for the color of their skin, or they hate people for their religion, or, you know, I mean, it's funny because I'm conservative talk show host and author Mark Levin was recently accused of siding with these hate groups, the KKK neo-Nazi hate groups, because he was coming to the defense of President Trump. Well, that's interesting, because he's probably received as much hate from those groups as anyone else, as a very high-profile Jewish talk show host. So he's not immune to the hate of these groups. So the idea that he's coming to the defense of the neo-Nazis and the KKK is really a ridiculous statement. And your argument falls flat completely when you make claims like that. So I don't want to make a judgment of this one is worse, that one is worse. In fact, a good friend of mine had made a post on Facebook and basically was talking about that we need to come together to stand up for hate. And I liked what he wrote. It was a very thoughtful thing that he put together. But at the very end of it, he alluded to conservatives and liberals and kind of didn't really make a comparison, but kind of brought that into the conversation like there was some sort of difference between the two when it came to standing up for hate. And I pointed it out to him. I said, look, I'm with you 100%. If you want to stand side by side against hate, I'm with you. I'm there. But this is not a political issue. The media makes it a political issue. Don't get me wrong. And the two political sides of the spectrum, you know, they'll make it political in their assessments of things and in the articles they write. But it's not political. Hate is hate, and we should try and stand up to hate in any of its forms. And so this, I'm running out of time, and I didn't even get to what I really wanted to talk about, which was, you know, whether or not we should take down these statues. And I'll just say a quick thing about that. I think we need to look at them on a case-by-case basis. And I think you need to leave it up to the people of that community. Let them decide. It's their community. Let them vote on it. Let them decide. But I think a good way to kind of a middle ground for this is let's change the way these things are presented. We can't just erase our history, and moving things out of a park or out of the front of a building into some museum that most people will never go into, that's a way of erasing history. And I think it's a bad thing. And I'm going to run out of time in this segment. So we'll talk a little bit more on the other side of the segment. So we'll take a quick break and we'll be right back.
You're listening to Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge. The Bridge.
With SRN News, I'm Keith Peters in Washington. American Jared Tucker has been confirmed as among those killed in a deadly truck attack in Barcelona, Spain. His father told the Daily News that the 42-year-old's body was identified at the morgue by his wife. Daniel Tucker says the van attack that killed 13 people and wounded 120 is just something we really just don't understand. His sister Tina Luke told the Associated Press that Tucker and his wife were celebrating their first wedding anniversary with a visit to Barcelona. President Trump has wrapped up his meeting with his top national security aides at Camp David as they try to formulate a winning Afghanistan strategy after 16 frustrating years of war. The officials and the president weighed options for breaking a prolonged stalemate in the fight against the Taliban insurgency. There was no immediate word from the White House whether Mr. Trump settled on a single course of action or asked for more deliberations. On Wall Street, the Dow by 76 points.
The home of the Chieftain Nation. You're listening to 94.3 The Bridge.
Oh, I wish there was a way to find out what events are going on in Rogue River.
There is.
There is?
Yeah, the website for 94.3 The Bridge.
They have Rogue River events on their website?
Yeah, for Gold Hill, Weimar, and Grants Pass, too. You can even submit your own event for everyone in town to see. And if it's on the website, they automatically talk about it on the radio, too.
That's awesome. What's the address to this site?
It's 943thebridge.com.
N-I-N...
No. Just type the numbers. 943thebridge.com.
Oh, 943thebridge.com. Hey, look, they have the latest local news on there, too.
They have everything on there. 943thebridge.com.
My savings are gone.
Okay, where were they last?
Here, right before I spent them on that vacation to Aruba.
Weird. Not weird. Not saving now means no money later. For free ways to save, go to feedthepig.org. This message brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
With the SRN News Business Brief, I'm Dennis Crowley. Last month, Federal Reserve policymakers were worried about inflation, but for opposing reasons. One group felt inflation was falling too low and argued for caution in raising interest rates. Others expressed concern that delaying further rate hikes could push inflation higher into dangerous territory. Officials eventually made a unanimous decision to keep its key policy rate unchanged. The White House says President Trump will make this month's payments to insurers under the health care law. A spokesman at the White House is promising the August payment will be made. The payments help reduce insurance copays and deductibles. And on Wall Street, the Dow Jones Industrials added almost 26 points. With business, I'm...
Back to Rogue Talk, and we've only got a couple of minutes left. I went kind of long in that last segment, but I wanted to kind of finish up my thought on those statues. And the way I see this is so many of these have been erected for so long, and they're history in to themselves. I mean, they're not only are they representing something that happened in history, but the statues, some of these statues themselves are history themselves. They've been there for well over 100 years. And so I think we need to be careful about just tearing them down because they represent, you know, what is, you know, a hideous part of our history. But I mean, let's be honest about America for a second. America's not that old compared to many of the other, you know, what they call Western countries. And, you know, we're very young for, you know, if you compare us to some of the other, you know, superpowers or Western nations. And we were very quick because of the genius of our Constitution. We were able to very quickly get rid of slavery. Now, admittedly, it took a horrible Civil War to get that done. And that's a blot in our history, but we can't just erase it and pretend it didn't happen. And we can't put our judgments on that period. We didn't live then. We don't know what that was like. A lot of those people thought of blacks as less than human. Now, to us, that's a horrible thing, but we can't put ourselves into that time period and, you know, and make a judgment on that. So I think what we need to do is look at each one of these things individually, see if there's a way that we can put plaques that explain the history and that the statue is part of that history and it's not honoring those people. And, you know, and I mean, in the case of General Lee, he fought in the Mexican-American War as well. So he was a war hero for this country. He just was on the wrong side of the Civil War, and it's unfortunate, but we shouldn't erase him from history. And I just think that we need to look at all these things on a case-by-case basis and not get all bent out of shape. And I am out of time, so everybody be good to one another, because Rogue Talk is over.
You've been listening to Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge. Listen to Rogue Talk with Jeff Smith, Fridays at 3 p.m. right here on Rogue River's Hometown Voice. 94.3 The Bridge. Or on demand at 943thebridge.com.